The King's Return, written by Andrew Swanston, read by David Thorpe. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. April 1661. For an hour the Dutchman had been standing silent and unmoving in the doorway of a derelict house halfway down the lane. He was hooded and wore black leather gloves, a black coat and soft leather boots. Neither the waiting nor the chill of the night bothered him. He was used to such things, and he would stay there until midnight if he had to. Nor was he concerned at using this lane again. It had served well enough the first time. It was dark and quiet, and he had taken up his position early to make sure that there was no one about and to accustom his eyes to the dark. He had collected his instructions from the usual place, behind a loose brick on the side of an inn in Bishopsgate that he checked at a different time every day. This was his second task since arriving from Holland at the end of March. He hoped there would be more. The bells of a church somewhere in the city signalled 10 o'clock. The mark was due. The Dutchman removed a long-bladed knife from inside his coat and carefully tested the edge with his thumb. Not that there was any need. He had whetted the blade himself and knew that it would cut almost anything short of steel. It was just a habit acquired over 10 years of perfecting his craft. 10 years in which he had never failed to carry out a commission successfully. From his left, the Dutchman heard footsteps on the cobbles. Not the brisk steps of a man returning home or a constable, more the shambling gait of a drinker trying to find his way without falling over, or an elderly man uncertain of his balance. His information was that the mark was elderly. A small man, he had been told, slightly stooped and poor of eyesight. Not a man likely to give him any trouble. He touched his damaged face and smiled. He liked easy money as much as he liked killing Englishmen. The Dutchman lowered his head, backed into the doorway a little more, and waited for the footsteps to pass him. When they did, he looked up from under his hood. A stooped man was shuffling down the other side of the lane towards the river. He knew that his mark would wait at the end of the lane for the man he expected to meet to emerge from the Honest Wherryman tavern. The mark would be watching the tavern door and would not see his attacker approaching from the shadows on the other side of the lane. He had no idea how an elderly man had been persuaded to come to such a place at night, nor did he care. He slipped out of the doorway and down the lane, keeping 10 yards or so behind the mark. He watched the man reach the tavern and stand outside it. For a moment, he looked as if he was about to go inside, but then he moved on. The Dutchman closed the gap between them, glanced about to be sure there was no one else in the lane, and, when he was no more than 5 yards away, darted forward, grabbed the old man's hair, pulled his head back to expose his throat, and with one swift stroke opened his windpipe. A fountain of blood spurted from the wound. It was done so cleanly and so fast that the victim uttered not a sound. The Dutchman lowered the body onto the cobbles, then wiped his blade on the man's coat and patted his pockets. He extracted the dead man's purse and pocket watch and turned back up the lane. To the coroner, the murder would look like the work of a robber. The mark was dead, and there was nothing to connect the Dutchman or his paymaster to his murder. Within 30 minutes, he was back in the house in Wapping that had been provided for him. Chapter 2. The carriage in which Thomas Hill sat, as a gentleman should, with his back to the coachman, rattled over the Southwark cobbles towards London Bridge. After 3 uncomfortable days, Thomas's backside was sore and his temper short. Holding a lavender-scented handkerchief to his sensitive nose, he leaned out of the window and shouted at the coachman to stop. Among the beggars, urchins and street vendors, he had spotted a Mercury selling news sheets. Thomas summoned the boy and handed over threepence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?